This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in John chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Let us pray. What a gracious Father and God thou art, to give unto us such a blessed portion of Scripture, wherein we hear our great High Priest praying for us. And what a privilege, what a glory, what a grace it is that we have our Father, a merciful and faithful High Priest, interceding for us within the veil. And we thank thee, Lord Jesus, that thy desire is that we may be with thee where thou art, and behold thy glory throughout eternity. And our Lord, this is our desire, to be with you, to see you as you are, and to be with you where there be no sin forever and forever. Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and take us unto thyself. But as we wait, may we wait in peace and quietness, and being about our Master's and Father's business, preaching thy precious word, so we ask that thou wilt take thy word home this day to each and every heart, calling out thy children, giving them thy mercy and thy grace and the work of thy Spirit in their hearts. Help us, lead us, guide us, and get to thyself glory, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Oh,
say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We praise the Lord for each one of you listeners and how you've stood by us these many years and getting out the truth of God's Word. We do praise Him and thank Him for each and every one of you. We pray for you and pray that the blessings of our gracious Lord will rest upon you continuously. Oh, that His Word will go home to our hearts is my cry. Our free book that we're offering this month is entitled The Best of C.H. Spurgeon in one handy volume. You'll want this little book. Including this book is a list of sermons. Among them, Brother Spurgeon's first printed sermon, Harvest Time. And then selections are taken from Spurgeon's Gems, Feathers for Arrows, Gleanings Among the Sheaves, The Treasure of David, pictures from Pilgrim's Progress, John Plowman's pictures, The Wit and Wisdom of Spurgeon, and Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. This little book is yours free and postpaid if you will write us and ask for it by name, The Best of C.H. Spurgeon. We'd be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Also, if you want copies of these messages that we bring in the series now on the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation, you write us and we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. My friend, will you pray for us? We stand in need of your prayers at this time as never before. God will lead us and guide us in a way that is pleasing unto Him. It's our one desire. It's to glorify His holy and righteous name, to preach His Word in sincerity and truth with all that He's given us, and lay the claims of Christ upon your soul. My one desire is to glorify Him. Will you write us? Tell us that you're standing with us in prayer. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. It's been my privilege to speak to you the past 5 weeks on the subject of the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation, and bringing before you the salvation that God gives to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In our sixth message today, and the last one in the series, we want to set before you the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit in making us holy, because He has given the work of making us like Christ to the Holy Spirit, and therefore He is called the Spirit of Holiness. We showed you in our first message the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit because we are totally depraved sinners. Then we showed you the work of the Spirit because of the sin of unbelief. And then third, the message, you must be born again. You can only enter in that spiritual kingdom by the Spirit's work in us. And then fourth, only by the Holy Spirit can we call Jesus Lord. Then our message last week, we showed you the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit in making the Lord Jesus Christ a living reality to our hearts. And now today, in our last message, we want to look at the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation, in making us holy, in making us like Christ. Let us read together 1 Peter 1:13 through 16, where we find these blessed words of instruction. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. Yes, the Scriptures teach that God desires that we live holy lives, conform to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and set apart for God's holy use. My dear friend, that this is the reason God saved us by His grace is plainly set forth in Ephesians 1:4 in these words. Listen to God's Word. According as God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. This is also brought out in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 in these words. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, chosen to be set apart by God the Holy Spirit as a habitation of the living God. Also in 1 Peter 1:2, we are told there that we are saved, we who were elected according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, my dear friend, the Holy Spirit's work in the believer's life is to conform him to Christ in holiness and to set him apart in sanctification for God's holy use. We read in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And what has God ordained, dear friend? He has ordained that we would be holy as Christ is holy, and the Holy Spirit will not be frustrated in his work. You see, this matter of sanctification is not an optional thing with you and I who are God's children, but it is a command by God, for it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Listen further. In 1 Peter 1:16, God the Father commands that we be holy. In 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, God the Son died and rose again that we might be holy. And in 1 Peter 1:22, God the Holy Spirit has been given and indwells God's children to make this possible and actual in our lives. And this, I praise God, He does. You see, the Scriptures plainly teach that to be in Christ is to have both positional and practical or progressive sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1:30 declares that God has made Christ our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He has made wisdom for our ignorance, righteousness for our guiltiness, sanctification for our pollution, and redemption for our enslavement. And the Scriptures plainly declare this great truth of what we have in Christ and what He has been made for us. Over and over the Scriptures declare this, that we have positional righteousness, a positional sanctification, a position of perfection. And God the Father, because of Christ's cross work and the shedding of His precious blood in our behalf, has given us a perfect standing before Him in heaven. And this standing is in Christ. I praise God for this. I stand perfect before God in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this, my friend, is based on not what I have done, but what our blessed Lord Jesus Christ has done for your speaker in His death, burial, and resurrection. But let's go further. We do find that this is not our state down here. And you ask why? It is because we have been left in these old bodies with all of their evil and corrupt tendencies which continue to drag us down. We read in Galatians 5, 6, 16, and 17 that there is a warfare going on in the life and body of the believer. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And my friend, this is indeed our state down here, while we wait for our Savior and Lord from heaven, who when He comes, praise His name, will give us a new perfect body, fashioned like unto His glorious body, and I wait for this coming. Now you will want to ask the question, if God has designed that we should be holy as He is holy and walk in this world in a life of separation, what has He done so that I may walk as a child of light in obedience to His will, seeing I am yet in this depraved body? If God desires that I walk in practical or progressive sanctification, and I know the teaching of the Word of God that I will, how does He bring this to pass? Would you listen and rejoice with me as we go into it? Are you listening? I want you to get it now. God has given us of His Spirit to fill us, to control us, to guide us, and to take the things of Christ and reveal them unto our hearts. And my friend, herein lies our hope of walking in practical and progressive sanctification while we are yet in this depraved body. Listen now. The Holy Spirit puts a new nature in us and gives us a hatred for sin, according to 2 Peter 1:4. He puts within us a desire to be like Christ. The only way we can be like Him is in holiness. For all of His graces flow out of His character of holiness. Therefore, there is in the heart of every one of God's children a cry after Him to be conformed to His will and to His way. The psalmist brings this out over and over again. As the deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after God. That's the one desire of the believer. As he tells us in Psalms 27:4, this one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. Yes, this is the cry of God's children. You see, as the Holy Spirit works in us to produce practical or progressive sanctification, He brings before us the commands, the precepts, and admonitions of the Word of God. And the new man, in turn, in us, seeks after, longs after, and thirsts after conformity to these commands, to these precepts and these admonitions. For he is a child of God, and he that is of God heareth God's word. He said, Pastor, what are some of the commands and precepts and admonitions that are brought before us by the Holy Spirit from God's word? Listen now to God's word. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 and 4, we read, For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And so the child of God, reading this, cries unto God that this will be worked in his heart and life. Again, listen to 1 Peter 1:14, 15, and 16. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation and his behavior, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. When the child of God reads this, he desires to be that obedient child. He desires to fashion himself, not after his former lust, but to be holy in his behavior, in his conversation, in his daily walk. He reads in 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 7:1, Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So when the child of God reads these verses of Scripture, he cries in his soul, O Lord, I desire to be separate. I desire to come out. Make this practical and real in my everyday walk. And then he reads in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He reads in 1 Corinthians 6:18, Flee fornication. He reads in 1 Corinthians 10:14, Flee from idolatry. He reads in 2 Timothy 2:22, Flee also youthful lust. He reads in 1 Timothy 6:11, Flee riches. So when he reads all these things, he cries unto God, O Lord, my Father and my God, you did not call me unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So I'm fleeing. Give me that grace to flee. Give me that grace to fly to Thee. Give me that grace to follow Thee. Work it in my heart and in my life. And that way we are walking practical and progressive sanctification. Also we read in Romans 6:13, Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So the child of God read in Romans 6:13, he says, O Lord, my Father and my God, by Thy grace I yield my members as instruments of righteousness unto You. I'm alive from the dead, therefore I do not want my way. I do not want sin. I do not want lust and pride and unbelief. I do not want jealousy and envy and strife. I do not want these things. Well, Lord, I desire to yield my members as instruments of righteousness unto you. Therefore, give me grace over all of these sins. Work in my heart that which is well-pleasing unto thee. Cleanse me by thy precious blood. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. O Lord, you said that sin shall not have dominion over me. Because you've broken the power of it, you've made me free from sin. And I've become a servant unto, and my fruit unto holiness. And therefore I want to walk in a holy way. You see, read in Romans 8:2 that the power of sin is broken. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. So we're reading that. We cry to God, this might be worked out in our own experience day by day. Are you listening to me? Oh, I'm trying by the grace of God to show you how God works in us and makes us holy. Hear it again. He gives us His nature so that we might call after Him, cry after His overcoming grace. He's given us exceeding great and precious promises and faith to lay hold of them. And therefore, we cry out after Him. We might be made in His likeness. So it is in this way that the Holy Spirit works in us by His sanctifying power and grace. For faith lays hold of the Word of God and trusts the living God for power to overcome. It reads in the Word of God, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So we cry unto God for that overcoming faith. Read in Romans 8:37, "We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." So we cry for that victory every day. Read in Romans 6:14, "Sin shall not have dominion over us." So we yield to the power of an indwelling Holy Spirit, knowing that sin, its power broken, it shall not have dominion over us. We read in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we come daily, hourly confessing, pleading the blood of Christ, crying unto God to have mercy upon us. We read in Jude 24, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." And when we read that, we cry, "O Lord, hold us! Keep us! You're able to keep us from falling. And so I place myself in Thy hands that Thou wilt hold us and keep us to the very end." Are you listening? One more question before we close this series of messages on the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. What are the marks of the Spirit of holiness working in the life of God's child? Let us go back now to the verses which we read in 1 Peter chapter 1. You'll notice in verse 15 the word conversation, which means behavior. This shows us what a practical matter holiness is. A holy person will have these marks. In verse 13, he will have a girded mind. He has a mind that will not hinder the Christian walk. Also in that same verse, he says we will have a sober spirit. You see, we are living in a frivolous age. Therefore, the mark of a holy man is just the opposite. He has a sober spirit. And why? Living under the gracious control of the Holy Spirit, he waits for the Lord from heaven. In that same verse, it says that we have a quiet heart. Listen to me now. You see, we are filled with holy optimism in a world where there is absolutely no hope. A holy man looks out on the world and sees the events that are leading up to the great consummation of all things. But he also looks up to Christ, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, fills and floods his souls and keeps him in this sad day. And then in verse 17 of 1 Peter 1, we find that the holy man will have a tender conscience. For we read there to pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Yes, we are to live in fear. This is not the fear which has torments, but it is that fear which may be described as being afraid to grieve our Heavenly Father, that is to sin against His holiness, against His love, and against the light that He has given us. Then again in verse 22, that the holy man has a loving disposition. We are told there to have unfeigned love of the brethren. Or as Ephesians 4:32 puts it, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Then in 1 Peter 2:1, the holy man has a pure motive. We're told that to lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. You see, malice means wickedness. Guile means craftiness. Hypocrisies mean pretense, making out that you are something different from what you are. But the holy person, the holy man, lays aside these false dispositions and attitudes and is marked by sincerity. His motives are pure. And then in 1 Peter 2:1, he has a clean mouth. In that same verse, we read of evil speakings. This does not refer so much to impurity of words, but as to gossip, slander, tale-bearing, careless talk, and the spreading of evil rumors. You see what a practical thing this holy life is? Which is worked in us by the indwelling Holy Spirit is a life that is characterized by a girded mind, a sober spirit, a quiet heart, a tender conscience, a loving disposition, a pure motive, and a cleansed mouth. And my dear friend, the secret of this life is that we must be born again. We must be obedient to the truth and must be utterly abandoned to the Holy Spirit, for He alone can work it in us. The Word of God says in Philippians 2:12-13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God's been in our midst. I believe He's taken His Word home to hearts. You'll want a copy of this message and the other five in this series. So write for them. We'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.